Time to talk a little bit more hockey before we switch off to some other things that we've got going here. And who better to do it with than the voice of the Boston Bruins on Nesson, Jack Edwards. Jack is brought to you by Norfolk Power Equipment and 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Terrific, Dale. It's wonderful to hear your voice on a regular basis in addition to all the tosses we do back and forth on hockey. I'm really enjoying the show.
You'll be so sick of me in another week or two, Jack. It'll just be, get this guy away from me. Hey, we just asked this of our listeners. I'm curious to get your thoughts. We said three players, three trophies. Bergeron for the Selke, Zdeno Chara for the Norris, Tuukka Rask for the Vezina. Who would be the most likely of those three to win their respective award?
Bergeron for the Selke. And that's because the Vezina is such a weird thing, and it's almost as if the Bruins' systematic success works against Tuukka Rask here, and it shouldn't, but sometimes even if you put up brilliant numbers, people tend to say, well, you know, this is the same defense that won a Stanley Cup back in 2011, even though it isn't. It's the same system, which it pretty much is, but Tuukka has been tremendous. He's been consistent. He's made huge saves at huge times. He's stolen games. Chara for the Norris is probably going to be a tough one, because even though we see defensemen as defensemen, they're still talking about Erik Karlsson winning the Norris this year in Ottawa. I mean, for a team that's going to miss the playoff. And, you know, it's warped that way. But I do think that Patrice Bergeron has finally attained that level of widespread acceptance of the great game that he plays that is all about the W's. And even though he doesn't have eye-popping offensive statistics, people understand that what he does is he helps his team win games, and that's pretty much what the Selke is all about.
Do you have a problem with Karlsson because his team's not going to make the playoffs, or is it because he's more of an offensive defenseman?
Well, for me, it's because he's an offensive defenseman. I mean, at last check, and I haven't checked in about a month because the Senators have become all but irrelevant, he was fifth on his team in shorthanded time on ice per game among Ottawa defensemen. The year he won the Norris, he was seventh. I mean, that means that the guy who's getting scratched every other game when he's in there gets more shorthanded time on ice than Erik Karlsson. Now, I understand that what a coach wants to do is put his team in position to win, and maybe he thinks that Carlson's time is wasted on the shorthand. But if he's truly the best all-around defensive player in the National Hockey League, wouldn't you think that he's out there at the most crucial moments for a defense, which is when you're shorthanded? I mean, it's only logical. Of course, logic never got in the way of the National Hockey League, so there we are.
He's also minus 18, and Zdeno Chara's a plus 24, just to make a comparison.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, Jack, so you got the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Obviously, still trying to find that playoff spot, secure it. So is there a level of desperation that you think they're going to be playing with tonight? Can you rank it from 1 to 10 and then kind of explain why?
I think about a 3.5. I think that the Leafs are giving a lot of lip service to the desperation thing, and they may come out and play desperately, but if the Bruins get up two goals, I'll be surprised if the Leafs put the same kind of effort into it. This is really a team that is having direction problems. They do not play organized defense. They make huge mental mistakes every single game. You know, the Bruins made a couple of mental mistakes last night in their loss at Detroit, but you know, that's a couple of mistakes that ended up contributing to the rare defeat. It seems that Toronto makes a couple of mistakes like that every period, and they just came off an 8-game losing streak at a time, by the way, when they were supposed to be totally concentrated and putting their system together. You know, there's already talk here in Toronto that there are going to be some changes, that maybe Randy Carlyle's going to get the gate. So you know, it's a team that has to run the table and get some help, and I don't see either one happening.
Yeah, and that was my follow-up question as far as the Red Wings game, how they won that game last night. You know, how out of place was that for the Bruins now? And is the Red Wings a team that the Bruins should be afraid of moving forward, especially since they didn't have two of their better players on the ice last night?
The Bruins shouldn't fear any team because they are one of the two or three best teams in the National Hockey League right now, and that includes St. Louis and Los Angeles also. They're playing great hockey. They've played it for a long time. They constantly are looking at things to improve. My guess is that some of the fraying around the edges is purely the inability to have something urgent to play for. We all know that the President's Trophy is a nice little bauble, but it really means almost nothing. The year the Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 2011, they were the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. So they knew they were going to have to win significant numbers of games on the road in the playoffs, and they did. And this is also a tremendous playoff, a tremendous road team. So they don't fear anybody. Detroit could pose some problems as a matchup. Montreal could pose some problems as a matchup. But really, going into the playoffs, the Bruins have to feel as good about themselves as any team.
All right, you just addressed it. Okay, fear is probably not the right word, even though I do have some fear. How about matchups?
That's good.
How about challenging matchups? Is it the teams that you just mentioned? Is it Montreal and Detroit? Or is it another team that if you just look at it objectively, you say, now that is that's a difficult matchup for the Bruins or a challenging matchup for the Bruins in the postseason?
Well, the three in order are Montreal, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. And I don't think they're going to end up playing all three of them because it looks right now as if Detroit's going to flip over and play in the Metropolitan Division as the 4 seed against Pittsburgh in the first round. But those are the three teams that on paper you would think could give the Bruins problems. But, you know, the playoffs are be prepared to be surprised. It's that favorite time of year because players come out of nowhere and have tremendous playoff runs, and goalies stand on their heads and steal games and occasionally steal series. I believe they have found me here in Toronto.
Run, Jack, run!
No, it's going
throw your
bad.
Bag and
it's
run.
I got off the hook, yeah. Yeah, but there are some matchup problems, but again, when the Bruins get into a series with another team, that means the other team has to play against the Bruins a maximum of 7 times, and they're going to pay the price for that. This Boston team has very good speed, not incredible speed, but very good speed, and they play a really heavy game. You have to play them game in, game out. That's going to wear you down. You're going to lose some guys, and there are going to be a lot of guys by the end of the series who are not at 100%. So, now, I'll take my chances with the way this Bruins team is looking right now.
Is the crummiest job in the Bruins organization right now whoever gets the assignment to tell Zdeno Chara he's going to sit down for a game or two?
I mean, really, it's like you're going to have to put manacles on the guy and chain him to the wall or something. He's a workaholic. And, you know, Dale, I think one of the interesting sidelights of this season is Chara with his, 10 power play goals. He's been playing in front of the net, and he's been doing something that he's never done in his entire hockey career. So he's had to learn a lot, and he's had to work really hard at it. Zdeno Chara likes nothing more than the challenge of having to work really hard at something. And to say to the guy, well, I know you love to work really hard, but you can't work at all today, that's a difficult message to deliver to a team captain that really believes he's got to set the example every single day, and he does.
When you look at how they're going to play these last few regular season games, they could clinch the conference tonight. If that happens, I think you'll start seeing guys sitting down as soon as Saturday.
Yep. I am completely on the same page with you on that, Dale. It's all about arriving at the playoffs healthy and refreshed and ready to go. Anybody whose heart didn't skip a beat when Bergeron went down clutching his leg last night just wasn't paying attention. That's the kind of nightmare that you try to avoid in these final few games. But, you know, as the hockey players say, you can't go out there trying not to get hurt because that's when you get hurt.
Are we going to see Jerome Iginla tonight?
My guess is that we will, but, the team got in really late last night, and it's been a real low profile around the hotel where they're staying in Toronto. So I'm thinking he will, but I don't know for sure.
Did you just say he's a top 15 player in the NHL? Did you just say that? Did I hear you say that about Jerome Iginla?
Hey, I've had the open man crush for years, so I make no bones about saying that he's certainly one of the top 15 players when you want to win. It doesn't matter about the stats. It's the way he plays.
You're just giving Michael
some
ammunition because he's trying to come up with a way he can justify
that. That is great. That's a great answer.
Jack, I'll talk to you.
We've got to go now. We've got to go. That's a great way to end it.
Jack, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, Dale. Thanks.
See ya. Jack Edwards joining us from Toronto, where he and Andy Brickley and Jamie Erdahl will be calling the game tonight. We'll have pregame for you. In fact, we got a whole bunch of hockey stuff tonight. We have Instigators at 6:30. Then we have the pregame show at 7 with Billy Jaffe and Barry Peterson. And then we go right into the game, and then we've got postgame. And just so you're aware, so that we don't have people complaining later, the game is on NESN Plus tonight. The Red Sox game is on NESN. Bruins game is on NESN Plus. You can find it. I promise you it's on your cable system. So just when you're looking for the game, all HD and all that stuff, but the Bruins game is on NESN Plus. Red Sox game on NESN tonight.
It's easy.
Whenever I find NESN Plus, there's just all I see is NESN Plus.
I was going to say.
There's usually nothing on there.
It's really just like plus one in my system, yeah. Really. NESN is, I think, like 577. Let's go up
576.
570. Is it 576?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
That's 51 for me.
All right. Fine. So 576, and then I just go up a couple. I think it's plus two. 578.
For our NESN Comcast plus. Subscribers, it's 851.
Yeah, so that's right. It's easy.
894.
Jack Edwards, brought to you by Norfolk Power Equipment and 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's get back to the phone calls with you guys. It's 617-779-7937. The AT&T text line is 37937. We are going to question the fatherhood skills of our panel when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Sports Radio WEEI.